This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
Potential presidential pardons for servicemen accused of war crimes.
A new report in the New York Times says that President Trump may be getting ready to pardon several soldiers convicted or accused of war crimes. Why would he do that?
Why would an American president intervene for the accused in the face of ghastly atrocities?
Special Operations Chief Edward Gallagher allegedly stabbed an injured boy to death. The military says the boy was a captured Islamic State fighter. Prosecutors claim Gallagher took a photo with the corpse and sent it to friends with messages such as, "I got this one with my hunting knife," and "I got my knife skills on."
Major Matt Goldstein was a West Point graduate and Silver Star recipient. Army documents claim that during a CIA job interview, the former Green Beret admitted killing a suspected Afghan bomb maker.
A video that appears to show U.S. Marines urinating on dead bodies is drawing strong condemnation tonight from officials in both the United States and in Afghanistan, where it all went down.
Another case, according to the Times, may include that of a Blackwater contractor twice convicted in the 2007 killings of dozens of unarmed Iraqi civilians. The White House's request for case histories from the Justice Department follows Trump's pardon earlier this month of former Army First Lieutenant Michael Behena, who had been convicted of killing an Iraqi prisoner. Adam Weinstein is an editor for The New Republic. He served in the Navy and worked as a contractor in Iraq in 2008. He says the cases have but one thing in common.
There doesn't really look to be a unifying principle when you look at them on the surface, other than that they are about atrocities committed by armed Americans overseas against foreigners.
I want to ask you about the military, which, broadly speaking, is presumed to be largely conservative, largely Republican, and a significant base of Trump support. But if the president expects to impress the military community by pardoning war criminals or accused war criminals, you think he's actually going to be disappointed?
There's not a natural constituency for blanket pardons of multiple war crimes on Memorial Day in 2019. It's not something that the military brass themselves are clamoring for. It's not something that the major veteran service organizations, AMVETS, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the VFW, or the American Legion, are in favor of and making public statements in favor of. It is something that some of their memberships feel pretty strongly about. So it's unclear how this is going to benefit him really beyond his base.
If we can assume that the president is motivated by impressing his base, nonetheless, it doesn't seem as if this scheme to pardon war criminals and accused war criminals sprung fully formed in his own mind. It was floated first elsewhere. Who's behind it?
Each accused service member or contractor has had a base of support, friends and family, a lot of activity on social media, and that seems to have sort of bubbled up and been run with by certain media outlets, most notably Fox News.
Joining us now this morning in an exclusive to share their stories and frustrations are the family members of these three soldiers, brave Americans and warfighters. I have the honor of being on this show, but rarely do I have the honor of being in company of amazing women like all three of you. Thank you for your courage.
This is where it gets a little bit weird. Media Matters, which of course is a left-leaning organization, they've been tracking this coverage and they've shown that there were at least 26 separate segments for one or more of these accused or convicted war criminals since last December. So basically in 6 months, 26 segments on air on Fox News.
On this show, we've frequently reported on the sort of walkie-talkie relationship between Fox News and the White House. What have these 26 segments looked like?
Generally speaking, most of them have involved interviews with friends or family members who are supportive of the cause of one or more of these accusees.
Sean Gallagher joins us now to go to bat for his brother.
For example, in the case of Chief Gallagher, the Navy SEAL.
Sean, happy about the two. What do we need to do to get rid of the other two charges?
Well, we need the intervention of the President of the United States, sadly.
Andrea, how hard has this been on your family?
It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. And I just want to let the president know he's being lied to. There is corruption.
His wife, his attorneys, his brother, and in fact, a friend of his who now runs a veteran-owned pro-military t-shirt business have all been on to basically say...
There is a video out there with exculpatory evidence that the president should see, that he needs to see to understand that this person needs to be home with his family.
They've been appealing directly through Fox News to President Trump and said, you're not getting, Mr. President, the full information on XYZ story.
Not just over the air either. There was news that the Daily Beast broke this week. It's not just that the president is watching Fox and Friends. It's what he is hearing directly from one of the co-hosts, Pete Hegseth. They reported that Hegseth, quote, had multiple private conversations on the topic with President Trump over the past 4.5 months, with Gallagher's case among those he pushed. And that lobbying seems to be working.
Trump tweeted, in honor of his past service to our country, Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher will soon be moved to less restrictive confinement while he awaits his day in court. Process should move quickly.
Trump has tweeted support not just for Gallagher, but for Matthew Goldstein.
The president tweeting, quote, at the request of many, I will be reviewing the case of a U.S. military hero, Major Matt Goldstein, who is charged with murder. He could face the death penalty from our own government after he admitted to killing a terrorist bomb maker while overseas.
Who is Pete Hegseth?
Pete Hegseth is a very interesting character in Republican circles. Hegseth graduates from Princeton. While he was in college, he was already getting conservative support for writing for a conservative campus paper. He goes to Iraq. He does his duty in uniform, comes back, and after a stint as a Bear Stearns banker, started working in conservative politics, basically being the Republican-leaning veteran who would go on television and sort of give that perspective on military affairs. And he has done that for a couple of groups. He was involved most recently with Concerned Veterans for America, which is partly Koch brothers-founded nonprofit that's been fighting very hard for privatization of a lot of services that veterans use in the Department of Veterans Affairs. And after that, he tried to run unsuccessfully for Amy Klobuchar's Senate seat in Minnesota. He was rumored to be on President Trump's shortlist to be his Secretary of Veterans Affairs in his cabinet, and that didn't pan out. He's since built a career as a Fox and Friends commentator, and it seems that while he was doing that and pushing for pardons for several of these alleged war criminals, he was speaking directly face-to-face with President Trump on those same issues and trying to push it.
Pete, this is something you've been on.
Yeah, first of all, I can't stand that headline, accused of war crimes. These are men who went into the most dangerous places on earth with a job to defend us and made tough calls on a moment's notice. Mm-hmm. They're not war criminals. They're warriors who have now been accused of certain things that are under review.
Essentially, what Hegseth seems to have done, and he may not be the only mover here, but he's certainly the most prominent one, it seems that he's helped set up a sort of feedback loop for President Trump, where he will hear, this is a good idea privately, and then he will go and watch Fox News and hear more about what a good idea it is and how much Middle America clamors for it.
Again, to the people in Middle America who respect the troops and the tough calls they make, they're going to love this.
Yeah.
These are the good guys.
It's not clear whether Hegseth's doing this just because he has very strong convictions for these soldiers, or whether he might have personal ambitions that are served by providing President Trump with what they perceive to be a political victory.
I'm still a little confused. The president does have a history of talking about unleashing cops and Border Patrol to be, quote, rough with suspects. Is this his means of loosening rules of engagement in the direction of impunity? Is he trying to cultivate Rambos? or is he just trying to score some cheap political points?
Before President Trump did go through with the pardon of Matthew Bahena in early May, you had to go back pretty far to look at a president who got involved personally with his pardon power in a war crimes situation. And that would have been President Nixon in 1973 pardoning Lieutenant William Calley, who famously was the officer in charge of the soldiers who committed the My Lai massacres.
Not quite a pardon, right? Nixon reduced Calley's sentence to house arrest.
Yeah, about 2 years into a life sentence for his role in My Lai. One of the things that came out of that Vietnam legacy, though, particularly among veterans and particularly among conservatives, is this sense that we would have won and it would have gone much better if only we hadn't had our hands tied behind our back by civilians who don't understand how tough it is on the ground. And that is something that came up again when, for example, President Reagan is elected in 1980. He campaigned largely on this sense of you shouldn't apologize for what you did, Vietnam veterans.
That's one ghost of Vietnam. But it had a parallel one. When President George H.W. Bush staged a victory parade in Washington, D.C. after the first Gulf War, it was said to expiate the society's sins of distrust and hostility toward the military, tracing to our failures in Vietnam and our excesses and our lies. Sure enough, this is 2019. Nowadays, we are in something approaching a cult of military, thanking uniformed personnel for their service, honoring them constantly with flyovers at NFL games. Do you think pardons are a sort of revisionism, not just to celebrate the sacrifices of our military, but to actually erase history?
You know, a lot of veterans do look to the commander-in-chief to perform a role, something like a high priest that sort of sanctifies the actions that they might be asked to take. You know, when I was in the Navy, one of the things that we were taught to memorize was a toast by Stephen Decatur, one of the early heroes of the 1800s Navy. And his toast was, "My country, may she ever be right, but right or wrong, my country." That little toast is the sort of cipher that we are still fighting over what it means. Okay, right or wrong, does that mean that I should be calling out the wrongs that we do in order to make a better country? Or does it mean that my country does no wrong because it's my country? And those are the two competing notions that I think are at stake here when we have a debate over whether or not an accused or convicted war criminal deserves a pardon.
Well, Adam, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Adam Weinstein is an editor for The New Republic.